From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonacoski.
If you want to get jacked up about the coming spring, and thank God it's not that far off, then go to the webpage for the upcoming Toronto Sportsman Show. If it doesn't stir up the blood, then there's something wrong. The best time to go, of course, is on Wednesday, March 18th, or Thursday, March 19th, because that's when Angelo and his crew from Fishing Canada will be on location. Better still, if you buy your tickets online for those two dates, you get your tickets for half price if you use the promo code FNC. That's FNC for Fishing Canada. It's a hell of a deal. You get to keep $10 in your pocket. The Toronto Sportsman Show has everything to rile up the outdoorsman in you. Fishing, which is what I gravitate to, and hunting and camping. There's stuff on boating, including some pretty nifty rigs, as well as scores of lodges wanting to book your time off in your life. If you're an ardent outdoorsman, take your kids, because Toronto Sportsman Show plants the seed for a culture that lasts a lifetime and will provide a trunkload of memories with no regrets. Snowmobiling became my passion in the winter, but this one is almost done. It's been a weird one weather-wise and snow-wise, cold and warm and then unpredictable. Even the weather folk had a rough time. But I will tell you this, there is not one boat that I've bought over the years that has been a mistake. I still have and use the 14-foot aluminum boat that I bought decades ago, although it has gone through a few motors and has been tarted up over the years with various fish finders and the like. Nothing like the technology that Angelo and Pete have in their disposal, of course, but certainly enough to keep my own heart happy when I try out a new lake or a new stretch of river. As an old saying goes, whatever floats your boat. And it still holds true today. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonacoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo, Andrew Holland. All at your service this wonderful Saturday morning. And what a great weekend it's going to be.
100%.
Even if we're not retired and vacationing. Bradley Schlorf, in-house safety expert, retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, now in the Gulf of Mexico on the Texas shorelines. Fishing, I'm assuming. Morning, Bradley.
Stephen, do you know what tarted up means?
No. I just laugh just okay. Because it sounds funny.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to get into this, but there was a term from the ancient days there that I just had to ask Stephen if he'd ever even heard it before. It doesn't got nothing to do with butter tarts or anything either.
Oh, I thought it was. My bad. I'll Google it. Or should I even Google it?
No, you don't need to.
It's okay. Angelo can have a little off-air discussion with you about what it means.
What's happening south of the border, my friend?
South of the border today, I'm sitting here doing the radio show with you, looking forward to another good day. I should have been fishing this morning, but the wind's kind of a crapshoot here, and the weather forecast let me down.
Oh, no. Poor Bradley. You're not going to be fishing today?
No, I made alternate plans that I could have preempted with fishing, but might get in a round of golf this afternoon.
There you go. God love you.
I'm not real broken up over it. Yeah.
No.
I'm over it.
I've told you before, when I grow up, I want to be you, huh? You know that.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome.
This is pretty exciting, you guys going back to the Sportsman Show.
Yes. What do you mean back? We never left.
No, but I mean, are you going to be live on air or any of that sort of stuff?
Live. Yeah, buddy. Well, we're going to be live.
Pre-record.
When was the last time, by the way, when was the last time you were at the Sportsman Show?
Oh, we've been coming down here. This is our fourth year, I'm going to say 5 years ago.
But when you were still on the force, you were there regularly, if I'm not mistaken, were you not?
I was there every day of the show when it was 2 weeks long for over 10 years.
Over 10 years. Look at you.
And I loved every minute of it. Like, it's a really, really, you know, I used to do the boat show, all the cottage shows, and not to put them down what they're like, but the sportsman show is really the one that I love being at.
And just if I may take you sort of back down memory lane, what was their reaction to having OPP officers there at the show? What would they come up and ask you?
Well, you'd get the whole gamut of questions. Like, it was always about, drinking in her boat. Like, no matter what show we did, everybody wanted to know when they could drink beer in her boat. So, you know, that was the number one question of all time. In Cottage Life magazine one time, they even did a caricature of me standing beside a boat on a trailer telling people the only time they could drink in their boat was on the trailer in their driveway. But, that was the number one question. But the thing about the sportsman show is you got such a gamut of people that, you know, didn't see themselves really as boaters or snowmobilers or any of that stuff. Like, they mostly wanted to hunt and fish, and they used those things as conveyances to do that stuff. So we got all kinds of questions about that.
Do you ever have any angry people come up to you and say, hey, how come you guys, my brother-in-law there, he was just doing, and you guys, you know, like those kind of questions.
Well, kind of like a guy one time that was angry about not having his strap done up on his helmet at an event. Oh, yeah, all kinds of angry people. But you know what? one particular year, the worst was photo radar was on. And there's the OPP. I'm the guy that didn't have anything at all to do with photo radar. And people were lining up to complain to me about photo radar tickets.
I was probably one of those, by the way. March break is quickly approaching, and obviously the sportsman show kind of made me think about that because that's during the sportsman show period. But a lot of folks will be taking the opportunity to take their family for a winter outing, you know, whether they're renting a cottage or going to a family cottage or a friend's cottage. They're going to be in the outdoors, and they may be interested in maybe snowmobiling or even the rental of a snowmobile. So today I thought we'd have you kind of, you know, give us the do's and don'ts if you are going to be looking at snowmobiling for the first time.
Okay, so in the first place, if you're renting a snowmobile, most snowmobile rental entities are very conscious of all the rules and very conscious of the amount of money they've got invested in that machine. So they'll tell you what you need to do. And the nutshell is helmet. You have to, anywhere that you're going to use a rental snowmobile, you have to have a driver's license or a motorized snow vehicle operator's permit. The rental place will be looking after permits, like essentially the license plate and trail permit if it's needed. And insurance. They'll have that all looked after, although you may sign an insurance form for them. So that's the difference of renting from a reputable place, is most of those things will be looked after for you.
In terms of kids, I know we've talked about this before, probably about last year about this time, if I remember correctly. But in terms of kids, what are the do's and don'ts? What's the minimum age for riding snowmobiles, for example, for kids?
Well, the minimum age for riding a snowmobile on a roadway or on a trail. So a roadway, you have to be 16 or above to go anywhere near that roadway. So to even cross it, you have to be 16 or above. You have to have a driver's license to go on the road. To operate a snowmobile on a trail, you can get away being over 12 years old with a motorized snow vehicle operator's permit or a driver's license. But of course, you can't get a driver's license when you're 12.
Okay, but now you're confusing me. You can't drive a snowmobile on the road.
So a lot of roadways, right? You can drive a snowmobile on it. Sure you can.
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on a public road with a snowmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. See, mark that down. I had no idea.
Not all public
stuff
roads.
Every day.
There are roads. There are roads that, like, to begin with, all the 400 series highways. That's completely prohibited. And then King's highways are prohibited except under certain circumstances. So, but municipal roads, municipalities can permit operation of snowmobiles. In fact, a lot of the trail infrastructure, you have to go from A to B on the shoulder of the road.
Okay. All right. It's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought you could cross them, but you couldn't run Well, anyways. Okay, so it's pretty simple. You know, you've got to adhere to some of the rules. And as you said, if you're renting a snowmobile, the snowmobile company that's renting you that vehicle will be more than knowledgeable about what's going on in the do's and don'ts. And, of course, above all, safety. If you're going to be crossing. By the way, you'd be proud of me. I this week, I was just telling Stephen, I had an occasion to walk across a lake, a frozen lake, with a buddy of mine, and we met there. And so we're getting dressed and ready to go for this wonderful walk across the ice. And the idiot doesn't have any flotation device. I said, what are you doing? So we're going for a walk. I said, no, you're not going for a walk with me. Where's your flotation stuff? Oh, you don't need that. I gave him hell. I'll tell you what, so much so that I made him drive to town and go to Canadian Tire and buy himself a life jacket. He was so pissed at me. But I wouldn't go. I said, I can't do it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You're walking on ice underneath its water.
Now, there was tons
bless
of ice.
You, you're like there the was apostle tons. Of PFDs.
Thank you. But there's tons of ice, but that's not the point. You can't do that nonsense.
Yeah.
And for him, it was like, what are you, crazy? I do it all the time. Anyways. So I saved one of them. I saved another one, Bradley.
Another message many more delivered.
Yes. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you do your thing. And where you're going to be golfing for how many holes? How many holes do you golf down there in that heat, by the way?
18.
You do the full 18?
Of course.
God, love you.
On the big course, not on the par three here, I'm usually riding a cart. I'm not walking the 18.
Good Lord.
So there's my acquiescence to athleticism. How do you like that? I'm driving in a cart.
I love it. Well, how do you play 18? You're outdoors. How do I play? Poorly. Very poorly.
No, but like, do you walk it all the time?
Embarrassingly. I don't think I have ever done that. I know I'm not being a smartass. I don't think I've ever walked. Let me think. You know, maybe a long time ago, maybe, but I enjoy the cart. I love driving anything, including golf carts. So no, I go for the extra $14 or whatever it is.
Me too.
It's too far for me. Yeah, it's too much walking, especially when it's hot. Are you crazy? And carrying bags and stuff. What are you, out of your mind? Do people honestly do that? I mean, unless you're a professional golfer and you have to do it because you're going for the big paycheck. Do regular folks actually walk 18 holes with their bag and everything?
Well, I wouldn't call them regular folks, but there's a lot of people that do it. Like regular folks would be sitting in a golf cart.
Exactly. Think about that. You know, you're putting you're taking jobs away from some poor kid whose sole job in life is to take those golf carts and bring them back in and wash them up and plug them in, make sure they're charged up for the next customer. Well, you know, if you don't use them, then that poor kid doesn't have work. That's the way I look at it.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't.
Now I feel a lot better about it. I'm keeping some kid in a minimum wage job just by my own laziness.
For sure you are. For sure you are. For sure. When's the next fishing trip, my friend?
Oh, probably tomorrow.
Do you ever go out? Do you ever rent to get one of those charters and go out and do some fishing, or is it just the cheap stuff from shore?
No. We've been on two charters so far this year, and we've lined up four or five times to go with the same guy. Like, he's really good. Boat's not real big, 28-footer. So to go offshore, again, you're at the mercy of the wind. And the wind is windy here always. So we've had a few cancellations, yeah, too, or I'd have been out more.
And what are you fishing for when you go offshore?
Red snapper.
Perfect. Good eating there, let me tell you.
Beautiful.
Good. All right, my friend, I'll let you go and get back to your fishing.
I don't want to talk about snowmobiles next week.
You don't want to talk about snowmobiles.
I don't want to talk about it because it's making me cold just thinking about it.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you Saturday. Take care. Have a good one out there, and knock him dead on the golf course. Bradley Schlorp,
okay.
retired OPP staff sergeant.
Living the life.
Now living the life, boy. I'll tell you.